Welcome to the Earn More, Stress Less podcast with me, Caro Sison. This podcast is for self-employed business owners just like you, who really want to grow their business and become successful and profitable, but without all the stress and hassle. I want to share my 30 years of business experience to show you how simple it can be to earn more money and how you can get organized without needing a business degree or any other qualifications. I'll be talking about the easy steps that you can put in place right now to start earning more money today and to help you get the business that you deserve and dream of. Without further ado, let's get started. This week's podcast is sponsored by Pocket PA, helping self-employed business owners to get organized, understand their finances, and do their accounts all in one place using a powerful online tool. If you're serious about making a profit and having a successful business, then using a simple digital web app like Pocket PA is the best way to grow and scale your business. Visit pocketpa.com for more details and start managing your money like a pro today. Hello and welcome to the Earn More, Stress Less podcast with me, Caro Sison. Thanks for joining me. This week, I'm talking with Jo Hooper about her own very personal journey into self-employment. And Jo has a really poignant story. And just a trigger warning that we're going to be covering some mental health topics in this week's podcast. I think talking about depression and anything around negative feelings makes us all feel a little bit uncomfortable, a bit unsettled at times. But that's the very reason why we need to shine a light on this really important topic and talk about it in a safe space. So I'm looking forward to speaking to Jo today, getting some of her really valuable tips to help support you if you've had any periods where you've experienced depression or low mood, because it can massively impact your business and your income when you're a self-employed solo business owner. So Jo, hello, welcome. Thanks for joining me today. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Pleasure. I think just even asking that question, how are you? It's such a throwaway question. No one really expects anyone to reply with anything than good, thanks. Yeah. I'm all good, thanks. So it's I think we ask it without having any intent to listen back to anything that might be loaded with anything other than yes, I'm good. But do you find, I mean, where's the best place to start with these sorts of things? Perhaps we start with you telling us your story. That would be probably the best place, so that we know where you've come from and where you are on your journey of self-employment.
Thank you. And yeah, you're so right about that question, how are you? And it's not just the person asking it who kind of isn't prepared for an honest answer. The person answering it is often not, you know, the social norm is, how are you? I'm fine, thanks. Like, even when you just asked me then, I was like, yeah, I'm good, thank you. When actually, I've been kept up most of the night by my upstairs neighbour. So I'm actually a little bit tired. But you just don't go into it.
Yeah, there's this thought process that if we were to say, well, actually, I'm really tired, we somehow might not seem so engaging or interesting to the other person. And we might seem like we're coming across moany or just, oh, for goodness sake, that wasn't really what I wanted to hear. I need to get on with the conversation, but it was just a nicety I was asking you. But we're not expecting anybody to say anything, but yes, I'm fine, thanks. Yeah, how are you?
Yeah, and it's like that. There's, I think, and this is, you know, one of the big topics around mental health that we all need to kind of be aware of and be actively trying to change. But there's so much stigma around being mentally unwell or being mentally struggling. Like, you know, if we asked that and the answer was, I actually broke my arm recently, like there would be no negative stigma about it. It wouldn't be like, oh, what's wrong with you? How did that happen? You must have done something silly. Whereas if you answer, oh, I'm actually struggling a bit today, then it kind of feels like there's a negativity, there's a stigma around that. But in my world, we're always honest about what's going on in our brains. So no stigma over here.
No, that's great. So Jo, give us a little bit of a snapshot and tell us what's been going on and how you found your way into self-employment. That would be great to hear.
Yeah, well, I guess this is where like the mental health stuff starts, really. I worked in communications for 11 years and I was really good at it, and I like got promotions and got really good jobs, and I got this, you know, I felt like my whole career had been working towards me getting this strategic, in inverted commas, position. And maybe 4 months after getting that job, I had a mental health crisis and basically had a breakdown, and took a tiny bit of time off work, started seeing a therapist, but didn't really get to the heart of the problem. And then sort of 9 months later, I had another one. And then I was so ill that I couldn't work. And I was signed off for 3 months, started taking medication, saw a better therapist, and started to really kind of get to the root of the problem, which was and is that, so when you do certain types of therapy, you learn about like your core beliefs about yourself. And my core belief about myself is that I'm a failure. And so that is so intrinsically linked to my work and the way that I work and the way that I think about work, the way I relate to work, the way that I use work and behave around and within work. And I basically, after coming back to my job after that time off, I just realized I couldn't continue to work in an employed environment and be mentally well or anywhere near mentally well. And happily for me, the company was going through a huge restructure about 6 months later, and I took redundancy and set up my own business then. So yeah, I never intended to be self-employed. I never wanted to be self-employed until my brain kind of made it what I needed to do.
I've got two questions around that, if I may. So what, when you say you had a sort of a breakdown or you just couldn't carry on, what sort of were the actual symptoms? What happened to you? What was going on for you that made you just feel that you had reached this full stop point, or you were in a cul-de-sac and you were having a breakdown? Because I'm never quite sure what that actually entails. What is a breakdown? What does that look like for you, Jo?
Such a good question. I think, I don't know whether it's the same for everyone, but for me, it was a huge combination of things. So first and foremost, my cognitive function was massively impaired. I couldn't make decisions. I couldn't have conversations with people. I couldn't do my job. I couldn't decide what to eat or what to do or how to answer a question from someone or to read an email, because I was so overwhelmed, anxious, and depressed. I also had lots of physical symptoms. So I used to feel sick most of the time. I felt sick when I brushed my teeth in the mornings. I hadn't had uninterrupted night's sleep for months. Like, I would be waking up in the middle of the night multiple times, in fear, really, about things that were going on in my brain to do with work. I had lots of random aches and pains and kind of numbness in some parts of my body, had lots of headaches. I became incredibly introverted and didn't respond to messages or calls or want to spend time with people or see people or really leave the house. And I remember the first time I was in the middle of a huge issue at work. And I remember walking along the street with my boss and kind of explaining to her how I was feeling and getting really upset because I was really low, and her saying to me as we were crossing the street in Bristol, I think I know what's going on for you. This happened to me too. And I think it's like a mixture of anxiety and depression. And then the second time, I remember I was on the tube to work. I lived in London at the time, and I was messaging a friend about how I was feeling and what was going on for me. And she said, well, you've got two options. You can either go into work and tell them that you can't be there anymore, or you can turn around, go home and go see the doctor and have the doctor sign you off. And I went into work and told them what was going on and that I couldn't be there. And then I didn't go back for 3.5 months. And in that time, it was almost like learning to walk again, like learning to be again. And there was a lot of like physical healing to do. So I needed to like sleep a lot and not really do a huge amount in like the way that I would think of it now. But I really needed to learn like what made me happy and what brought me joy and what brought me calm and what felt like a sense of achievement outside of my work.
And did you have medication during that time? And was there someone to look after you physically during that period as well?
Yeah. So the first time in 20, so 2017, the first time anyway, I decided I didn't want to take medication. I had taken medication when I was in my teens when my dad passed away, and I just had had a really bad experience and so didn't want to take it again. But the second time I knew that I needed to, because I knew that I really was unwell and I needed that to help me. And I still take it now, citalopram. My dose has changed over the years, but now it's kind of like a maintenance dose in my eyes. During that time I lived with my partner, who I still live with now, somehow still here after all of that. He has always been like incredibly supportive, like, you know, make sure that I have good food to eat and like a nice environment to be in. And he always makes me laugh and takes my mind off it.
That's lovely. That's so nice that you've got that support. So my second question around that was, what made you feel that coming out of an employed role where you have a regular paycheck, you have obviously benefits often in a company and those sorts of things, what made you feel that self-employment might be a better avenue for your mental health? Because coming into a self-employed environment, there are so many uncertainties. You know, sometimes people swap a 40-hour paid work week for an 80-hour self-employed week, and all of that uncertainty and the stresses and the pressures of being self-employed, sometimes people think that that's enough to tip them over the edge and put them into that breakdown state. So what was making you think, I'm curious to what made you think, I can't stay being employed, self-employment is the answer, that will be better for my mental health?
Such a good point, like such a insightful question, because yeah, you're right. I think it is hard on your mental health to be self-employed, but for me it's in a very different way to when I was employed. So I think what I needed was more control and more choice and therefore more freedom. And so I felt like I was constantly having to compromise on my own health to try and meet the demands of an employer and, you know, stakeholders in inverted commas and other people in the workplace and other people's expectations. And it felt like I was always at the bottom of the list, and the job and the company and the team and all of that came first. And so I set up my business, and I kind of, the way that I work with other people is to set up their businesses in a way that puts their needs first, because especially as women, we've been taught that, you know, the epitome of womanhood is to be selfless, to lose oneself, to subordinate our own needs to the needs, whims, wants of others. And I think that is so forcefully displayed, forced on us in the employed world. We're looked at funny if we leave on time, or God forbid early. We're, you know, told that the most valuable thing about us is our time, and that if we come in half an hour late, so you just go to pick up tampons on the way in, or take your kids to school, or take your cat to the vet, that you need to make up that time later. That, you know, there are so many expectations that you must meet, and not just meet but exceed and excel at if you're to earn more money or be seen as committed to the job. And I just could not continue to ignore, subordinate, more than compromise my own health for arbitrary needs of an organization that I didn't even care about that much when I really thought about it. So yeah, there is a lot of uncertainty in business, and by gum, over the past, I went self-employed in 2019, and I feel like it's been a 3-year baptism of fire.
I think you've probably chosen three of the hardest years, particularly with the COVID. You'd obviously set up a new business, and it had only just been in its fledgling stages when COVID hit and everything sort of went haywire with everyone's working patterns and uncertainty and those sorts of things. So how have you navigated? Do you feel on balance everything has much more improved for you with your mental health since you have become self-employed, having taken back that control, being in charge of your own destiny, being able to meet your own needs? And I've done another episode with someone where we talked about how self-care isn't selfish. And it, in fact, it's imperative for our business to be successful. We have to be looking after ourselves. Do you feel that's translated over to your journey now being self-employed, because you can prioritize yourself and set up your day and your week and your life exactly as you want to, but still able to earn an income for yourself?
Yeah. You know, being self-employed doesn't stop me having anxiety and depression. It doesn't stop there being low patches. It doesn't stop there being times when I really struggle with anxious thoughts. But what it does is it means that I can, and I have set up my business so that I can manage those times better, so the dips aren't as deep and they don't take as long to come out of. So, you know, I have, when I say I've set up my business based around my needs, I only see 8 clients at a time. I only have 2 sessions a day on 2 days of a week. I don't work. I don't have like meetings in the diary before 10 or after 4. I will not work evenings. I will not work weekends, because I know that that is like, if I give myself an inch, I'll take a mile. And I will, like, that just means that I will then start to massively overwork, which has a huge impact on my mood and my anxiety.
So this has meant that you've become very boundaried. Was that always a trait that you had, or is that something you've had to learn? Because boundaries for self-employed people, I think it's either something that you have or it's something that you aspire to have, because you need them in your business to protect your own time and, you know, your well-being. But a lot of people, when they're self-employed, find boundaries quite a tricky thing. They feel that they need to be at the beck and call of their clients 24/7. And if they're not getting back, then they're getting behind and those sorts of things. So that's such, you know, the way that you set up your day, 10 till 4, not evenings, not weekends, that would be most people's ideal. And have you felt that you've been able to do that successfully and still be able to earn the amount of income that you want? Or has that been a challenge and you've had to sort of give and take on bits?
So I definitely wasn't always boundaried. When I worked in an employed role, I would be leaving the house at like 6:30 in the morning. I probably wouldn't be getting back till 8 in the evening. I would be working evenings, I'd be working weekends. I would always be that person who people would say, oh, Joe will sort that out for us. And you know, that's what led to me having 2 breakdowns in 18 months. Like, that just was not sustainable. And I think the reason we struggle with boundaries or reasons is when we set up our own businesses, we think we have to say yes to everyone and everything to make money. And that isn't true, because if we say yes to everyone and everything, then we don't have time to work the way we want to do the work in a way that is best for us and best for the people that we work with. We don't have time and energy to say yes to the great clients because we're too busy over-servicing the crap clients or the ones that aren't a fit for us. We've all had the crap clients, right? We've all had the ones who are like demanding or who don't pay you enough or who are like always pushing the scope of a project. When the balance between like working the way I want and need and earning the money I want and need to, I would say that I'm still working on that. Like, yes, I'm not earning in my business what I would love to earn. I'm nowhere near earning what I used to earn in my corporate job, but I'm way happier and I have a much better life. And I feel like I could run this business in some form. Like, I like to try new things all the time. So God knows what I'm going to be doing in 5 years. But I feel like I could run this business in some form until I don't want or need to work anymore. Whereas I was 30 in a like head of department job and I could not see what my next step was. I did not want to do a director's role and I did not want to stay in that industry and I couldn't. So for me, yes, I've got, you know, financial goals and plans and aims, and there's a spa that I want to be a member of down the road. That's my next business income goal. But I want to build a business that's sustainable for me energetically, mentally, and financially. And that's a large part of that is having boundaries to protect myself.
So it sounds as if the quality of your life is way better since you moved to becoming self-employed. And that quality for you is something that's non-negotiable now, now that you've tasted it and you smelt it, felt it, and got a bit of that. So the quality of your life is directly proportional to what you're putting in and investing in yourself and your mental well-being. And so on that road to being self-employed, you've been putting all those pillars in place to make sure that you're as capable and as able to stay, to be stable, I suppose, in your mental health and to feel that you're coping. Do you feel that there's any correlation or increased risk of depression, either in employment or self-employment? Do you feel there's any, that there are more people employed and depressed than there are in the self-employed, or are there any statistics that you know of about that?
I don't know of any statistics, but what I do think, and I would say loosely know from, you know, working with hundreds of people now and being in like the sort of online business worlds that we're in, is that I think when you are employed, the reasons for your anxiety, depression, if they are exacerbated by your work, are that you are, the organization is more powerful than you, and you are subordinate to them, you have to meet their expectations, you are constantly feeling like you don't match up. Whereas when you're self-employed, I think what can cause us to struggle with our mental health when we're self-employed is because being self-employed is like an internal voyage of discovery every day. We're constantly coming up against like struggles around our self-worth and our value and the way that we think about the world and the way that we relate to our work and the way that we because what we're selling, even when we're creating products, what we're selling is us. And to be able to sell yourself, you have to like yourself, or at least think that you are good at a thing. And that is incredibly difficult when you are depressed or anxious, or when you are, when you have other kind of mental health stuff going on. So I think kind of the reasons and the causes and the triggers for like mental health struggles are different when you're employed or self-employed. I'm definitely going to go and look up and see if I can dig out a statistic anywhere about prevalence.
Sorry, I didn't mean to put you on the spot with that.
No, not at all. That's a really good question.
I suppose my thought process was that when you are self-employed, particularly if you're a solo business owner, you can have a lot of feelings of isolation. You feel an increased sense of responsibility, loneliness. Perhaps I hear that from a lot of small business owners, that they have this sense of isolation where it's just them. They are the front stop, the back stop, the side buffers. If it's not them, then there is no income coming in. So that can create a huge mental pressure on its own. And I was just wondering whether people that are predisposed to depression could find it more anxiety laden being self-employed and having all of that responsibility, or whether the upside of that locus of control where you feel liberated and in charge of your own destiny actually offsets that and makes you a way better candidate for being able to manage it better.
I guess speaking for myself, I never wanted to be self-employed for that exact reason, because I thought I would always be worrying about where the money was coming from. But after experiencing such debilitating mental health issues that meant that I couldn't work, that I couldn't go out, that I couldn't see people, that I couldn't, you know, I couldn't enjoy the money that I was earning or the lifestyle that I could have had in that job, which I couldn't have had anyway, because life was like squeezed in around the edges of many, many hours of work. I think that is far more damaging than, for me personally, than the pressure about the finances. And I think what I realized in COVID as well was like, actually, I felt more secure being self-employed than being employed, because I am the one in control. I am the one making the decisions. Yes, it's on me to make the money, but I can choose to make the money, and I can choose to change things, try new things, set up payment plans. Like, I can choose the way that my business runs so that it gives me financial stability. Whereas if I were employed during COVID, I could have had my wages cut without any consultation. I could have been put on furlough and been only earning 75% of what I was told I was going to get. I could have faced redundancy and, you know, been let go and had no income. So I feel like actually for me, when I, the time that I set up my business, then going into COVID really made me feel the power of being in control of my own earning potential.
So you felt much more empowered, and that was sort of good for you overall. So have you got any tips or anything for people if they're self-employed, if they're low in mood, if they are feeling that they've got some depression coming on? What sort of things can they do to shore up their business? Because when they're the main breadwinner, their business is their baby often, and they have to protect that income. What could you suggest for people, and what's the best route forwards if you're feeling something's coming on?
Yeah. First of all, I would say go and get the support that you need. If that's through your GP, the reality of accessing mental health care in the UK is that it will take you a very long time to get a referral for NHS talking therapy. So if you are financially able to, I would encourage you to go to your GP and get a private referral and seek out private talking therapy or support. And secondly, I would say be honest with your clients. Like, everyone goes through life. Life happens for everyone. At least 50% of us will experience some periods of depression and or anxiety in our lives. And if you're working with clients who are a good match for you, then they will care. And in practicality, say, for example, you are working with a client on a, say you're a graphic designer and you're working with a client on a 6-month contract where you provide stuff every month for 6 months, I would say talk to your client, tell them that you need to take some time off of work. That won't affect what you deliver for them, but it will affect when you deliver it. So, and that takes me to the way that you set up your business, which is please don't work by the hour. Please work based on outcomes and outputs, because working by the hour will encourage you to overwork. It will put a ceiling on what you earn, and it will put more pressure on you when you need to take time out of your business, whether for your mental health or for physical health or for bereavement or for your ceiling falling down, whatever it is. Be honest with your clients and let them know that it won't change what you provide for them, but it may change, or it will change when you provide it. Therefore, you can keep that payment plan running for that 6 months. And maybe it will mean that you add a bit of extra output for the following four, for example.
I can see how that could work for those sorts of clients that you're talking about, where they perhaps have that sort of an agreement with their work thing. But I think we have quite a few listeners also that are service-based, and they're perhaps only paid when they deliver. So they're exchanging their time for money on day-to-day appointments and that sort of thing. Would there be a different approach for them to be able to sort of keep things going? I get completely how the impact of mental health on the relationship with our clients is vital to have that transparency. But apart from going to the GP and getting some support and shoring up your things, is there anything else that you would advocate for those sorts of listeners that might be working in a service-based industry where they are on that timeline, where they're exchanging their time for money on an appointment-based system?
So you could say to your clients then, okay, you're going to bank these many appointments and you'll be able to book those or book two appointments together for our next sessions. So there are, you always get to choose how you run your business. You don't have, if I get it, if you, you know, you're, whatever your business is, whether you're a therapist or a coach or a
I'm thinking of maybe somebody in the beauty industry where if you're a hairdresser and you can't go out and do haircuts and highlights, if you're a gardener and you can't physically go and mow that lawn and you're having a mental health crisis or that sort of thing. I'm just sort of advocating about how they might manage that situation, because obviously they've got the pressure of income being compromised if they're not seeing their clients and delivering it. It's not that they won't go back and cut the grass, but they can't cut it today. It's not that they won't see their clients for that hair colouring, but they just can't do it today. I'm just trying to think of that pull push that people have in their work environment.
Yeah. So again, I would say be honest with your people. Like, you are not going to be able to do a good job if you are feeling really low, and B, by trying to continue with the schedule that you've got, you will make yourself iller, and you will make yourself iller for longer, and it will be harder to come back from it. So I know the worry is, I just need to get through this week because I need to earn the money and then I can take a long weekend. That approach does not work.
Okay, so sucking it up, putting your big girl pants on is not the way forwards in your view for those sorts of things. If things have got to a point where they're going downhill rapidly, you need to take action and actually stop.
You can't put your big girl pants on and get out of a mental health crisis. That's sadly just not how
it's
it
not
works.
A reality.
No.
Yeah.
And what pushing through does is makes you iller. And, you know, it would be like if that hairdresser had broken their wrist or sprained their wrist and then went to try and do their work for a week, the wrist would get worse and it would be harder for it to then get better. It's exactly the same with your mind. Mental health is physical health. It's a part of your body. And if a part of your body is ill, compromised, broken, pushing through doesn't improve it. It makes it worse. So I would say for those people, please be honest with your clients. You could say to them, you know, in the gardener example, if someone, you know, sets up a direct debit for you to come every 2 weeks to come and sort their garden out, you could say to them, you know, you can keep the direct debit going. I will come for 4 hours the next time, or you've banked an extra session for us to book it in whenever you want it. Some things I've done in the past is if I've had to change deliverables in a course, for example, where because I've not been well enough to deliver it, then I will offer something as a kind of as a thank you for their understanding. So I've offered like a free place on a workshop that I'm running, or I've offered a free affirmations pack, or, you know, that's very specific to me, but you could offer a thank you for your understanding kind of gift extra, so that people know that you really care about their business and you care about them and you want them to still be, you know, part of your business, but you can't work when you're ill.
No, that makes sense. Yeah, no, and I think it's important that we do put that message out, that you can give yourself permission to stop and that you don't have to go on, you don't have to suck it up, you don't have to just put on a brave face, which I think sometimes people, you know, get over yourself, just sort yourself out, you know, pull your socks up, whatever it is that, you know, you might have heard parents say, or you've just got to get on with it, it's not always easy, you've just got to crack on. It actually isn't always as simple as that. And you do have to prioritize yourself if you're the main person and recognize that it's actually doing you a disservice and it's going to make things worse and make it last longer, you're suggesting. Because, you know, when you have these mental illness episodes, it's a chemical imbalance. It is a physical thing that's going on. It's just because we can't see it and it's not manifesting itself with a plaster on it or something broken that you can't put pressure on. You can't put pressure through your brain and expect yourself to keep delivering a first-class service and do it day after day if you're not in that right space. Would that be right?
Yes, that's exactly it. The way you phrased it just then, you know, if you'd broken your ankle and you can't put pressure on it because it needs time to heal, and if you've got something going on in your brain that you can't put pressure on because it needs time to heal, that's exactly it. You couldn't break your ankle and then go running every day for a week and expect it to be better at the end of the week or not significantly worse. It's exactly the same with your brain. Sadly, we just can't see it.
Yes, that I think it's that invisible thing, like not all, but they say the invisible disabilities and stuff. They're saying be aware that people might have things that we can't see. So it's important that people ask for help. They manage it when it's particularly bad. We're kind to ourselves in order to be able to get back on track. I think asking for help and asking for support instead of going into a downward spiral. Do you recommend your GP as your first port of call, or are there groups, are there societies, are there different helplines that people could reach out to? What would you suggest, Joe?
Yeah, there's lots. So if you are really struggling to kind of vocalize and talk about how you're feeling and how that's affecting you, I'd recommend a charity called Shout. It's a text-based service and it's free. There's also Mind, and Mind also run a lot of mental health services for local councils in the UK. So, and actually that's a service that you can self-refer to. So if you Google IAPT and your local council, that's increasing access to psychological therapy. And
I'll put a link into the show notes if you could send that over. I think that's ideal, because that would be a great.
Yeah, and that's a service that you can self-refer to. Sometimes the waiting times are long, so if you have the financial means, I would really encourage you to talk to your GP in the first instance, because sometimes when we're in a like in a depression dip, particularly, a short course of medication can just help us lift ourselves out of it enough to support ourselves the rest of the way. But a place where you can find registered, insured therapists locally or online is the Counselling Directory. Again, I'll give you a link for that. So there are free services like Mind, like the Samaritans, if you're feeling like really in crisis and having particularly thoughts about harming yourself. Then there's Shout, which is text-based, then there's IAPT, and then the Counselling Directory if you're able to go privately.
Thank you. That's really handy, Jo. And Jo, what do you do, Jo, to help people to be mentally prepared to be able to work better in their business and help them find what's lighting them up to keep them on the right track? What do you offer?
So for me, it's all about starting with what you need and want from your business, whether that's how you work, when you work, how much you want to earn, what you need in your life to support yourself. So do you know that you need to pay for weekly therapy, or do you know that your chronic physical illness is helped by weekly hydrotherapy appointments? Whatever those things are, let's start with what you need. And then I've come across this quote recently, which just really sticks in my mind. And it's that society tells us that there must be more to life and business than just following what you're drawn to. What if there isn't? Like, what is it that you're drawn to? What do you want to bring into the world? What do you want to help people with? What do you care about? What do you love? What makes you feel the way that you want to feel, whether that's calm and serene or excited and fizzy or however that is? What makes you feel that way? And now that you're self-employed, you can provide that in any way you like and with any rules around it that you like. So we start with your needs, then we look at what you want to do, then we look at how you want to do it, which is like your boundaries that protect your needs. Then we look at your how much you want to do it, your capacity, your pricing, and then who do you want to do it with? Like, who's going to respect all that stuff and be your person? So yeah, for me, it's about starting with your needs and about what is it that you're drawn to.
That sounds amazing, Jo. And I think I'm always saying that the world needs more people shining their light, because once that starts happening, everyone benefits from it. But sometimes we all need a little bit of help finding that that avenue, don't we? Thank you so much for sharing with us today and our listeners. Jo, if people want to connect with you, where's the best place for them to go to find you?
So my main place is Instagram, where I'm at Mad and Sad Club. So come find me.
I'll put a link in there as well. So that's great. Thanks so much. Thanks for joining Jo and I today. It's been really great to be able to talk, as I say, to shine light on something that a lot of people do find difficult. I think for me, the takeaway messages are that you aren't to suffer in silence. You do need to put a line in the sand and a marker and speak to somebody, and always, always share something if you're feeling that you aren't coping with stuff, whether it's an anonymous person on a helpline, whether it's your GP or whether it's a family member or a friend. Always reach out, because nothing is ever final. Everything can be sorted out. And it's really important that we talk about this a lot more. So thank you very much for joining Jo and I today. It's been great to have you with us. Check out the show notes so that you can reach those points that Jo has given us, and have a wonderful day, whatever it is you're doing. And we'll catch up again soon.
Thanks for listening to the Earn More, Stress Less podcast with me, Caro Sison. If you've enjoyed this week's episode, then do hit subscribe so we can catch up again soon. And please kindly leave a review if you've got a moment, and share with anyone else that you think this podcast could help on their self-employed journey. If you're ready to make bigger breakthroughs in your business life and want to get way more organized and understand your finances the really simple way, then start your very own 14-day free trial today
using the super powerful software tool Pocket PA that I made for my own son and daughter. Go to pocketpa.com/podcast and let's get you on the way to earning more money and stressing much less. Have a great week, whatever you're doing.